Prepare to be astonished!
It's that time again.
Let's get started.
From the Clatsop County Historical Society, an adventure in history with Matt Burns and Alana Quila.
You should never be allowed to talk to people.
Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking.
And now, with today's adventure, it's Mac and Alana.
Hello, this is Arnold Schwarzenegger. Season greetings and best wishes for a joyous holiday.
Howdy, I'm Adam West wishing you a Merry Christmas.
Hi, this is Vanna White, and I want to wish you a very happy holiday season.
Hello, this is Bill Murray. I hope you have a Merry Christmas, a Happy Hanukkah, a Happy New Year, and Happy Groundhog Day.
It's a very merry almost Christmas.
Almost Christmas.
Almost Christmas from me, from Alana and Mac, to all of you. Thank you for joining us a couple days before Christmas.
Well, not everybody.
Not everybody. That's true. Happy holidays.
One specific person. You know who I'm talking about.
Oh, who?
No, I don't know. I'm just being goofy.
The Grinch?
Maybe.
Yes. To those who celebrate, and to all of our listeners, we are very grateful for you all the time. So thanks for joining us.
All right.
We have a fun show today.
We got a lot of stuff.
Yes, I like it.
So it's not quite a hodgepodge show.
But it's a Christmas-themed show.
It is.
Yes. So I have my word, though, which is not Christmas-themed at all. And it's a noun.
Okay.
And it's 16th century English. Grimalkin.
Grimalkin? And it's a noun.
It's a noun.
Now, grimalkin in the 1500s was used to describe the beverage that you were going to order at the pub.
We've already had that word, and we can't remember that word.
Well, no, we had the last drink order.
Oh, the last drink. Oh, yes, which we still can. I was trying to find it again, too. That is not the word today.
I thought if I sounded really positive.
You did, yeah.
I would prove that it was right.
Grimalkin is a cat.
A grimalkin?
Yep, a cat. That's it.
No, I don't. I reject that one.
And why would you call it a grimalkin instead of a cat?
Yes, it seems making it harder.
Right. So
this is why people in the 1500s didn't live long. Because they wasted time instead of saying cat.
Right.
Grimalkin.
Time and memory.
What a fuzzy grimalkin you are.
Also proof.
You finicky grimalkin.
The English language is terrible. Okay.
All right. Let's see. We do still have plum pudding, the 26th through the 30th.
I love it.
But other than that, I've got nothing to plug.
And that's parties of six or more can call and reserve.
Make reservations. Yeah.
And others can just check in at the carriage house.
Yep.
You get your tickets. You buy your tickets and you get the tea and plum pudding and you get a tour of the museum. Yeah. Get dressed
what could
up.
Be better?
Have a little tea. Have a little plum pudding.
Yes, indeed.
And there's is the whiskey sauce still?
Yes.
My husband loved that.
Actually, it is pretty tasty.
Yes.
And, I'm not a big drinker, but yeah. So
okay.
Come on
out.
It's
a great tradition to start. It's a tradition in our family for sure.
Yeah. Okay. So you ready for the big history highlights?
I'm ready.
Because I got a big long list.
Okay. And this is for tomorrow.
Yep. All right. So these are things that happened December 23rd.
Yep.
962.
Oh my gosh.
You like when I go way back. Because I really don't care about ancient history.
Can you guys hear me roll my eyes on the other end of this?
And I just put this one just so I could say, and then everything was great ever since.
Oh, okay.
962, Byzantine-Arab Wars. Because we all pay attention to the Byzantine-Arab Wars, I'm sure. Under future emperor Nikephoros Phokas, Byzantine troops stormed the city of Aleppo, recovering the tattered tunic of John the Baptist. So I actually put it in poor Aleppo. Oh my gosh. If you looked at a history of that city, wartime versus peacetime, which is going to be more?
Oh, wartime. Yeah.
Yeah, it's
awful.
Hideous. It's once again,
I know.
I'm glad
it
that
is.
I have been so fortunate to have been born when I was born and where I was born.
Mm-hmm.
We lead everyone that is listening to this, we lead amazingly fortunate lives compared to the rest of history and the rest of the world.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. 1776, the Continental Congress negotiates a war loan of $181,500 from France. Way to go, France.
Yeah, thanks
for helping a buddy
bailing
out.
Us out.
Yeah, 1776, that's like getting us going.
Yeah.
All right. And it's probably why they came in later with troops, because, we invested in you. Now we better,
right.
If we want to get our money back, we better make sure you win this thing, or at least don't lose it. 1783, George Washington resigns as commander-in-chief. 1783, I'm done. You don't need me anymore. 1867, Madam C.J. Walker is born. And you're looking at me perplexed.
Right, yes.
Which is why I put this one
okay.
in. Okay. Because I only kind of vaguely knew about kind of the business, but I really like this, and I knew you would like this one. So 1867, Madam C.J. Walker is born. Future entrepreneur, philanthropist, and self-made millionaire, Madam C.J. Walker is born Sarah Breedlove on December 23rd, 1867, in Delta, Louisiana. Walker's parents, sharecroppers who had been enslaved, died when she was seven. Walker eventually left Louisiana and spent her 20s in St. Louis, Missouri. While working as a laundress for about a dollar a day to support herself and her young daughter, she developed a hair loss problem. For working-class families at the time who often live without indoor plumbing or adequate nutrition, healthy hair could be difficult to maintain. When Walker, who shed her old name after marrying St. Louis newspaperman Charles Joseph Walker, began using products produced by the black hair care entrepreneur Annie Turnbow Malone, she found success and was inspired to create her own line of hair care products. The Madam C.J. Walker Manufacturing Company began selling Madam C.J. Walker's Wonderful Hair Grower in 1906 using a mixture of precipitated sulfur, copper sulfate, beeswax, petroleum, coconut oil, and a violet extract perfume.
Okay, so it smelled good too.
Yeah, her company at its peak would go on to employ over 25,000 women, nicknamed the Walker Agents. And that's kind of what I kind of knew. There's this thing who made house visits across the United States and the Caribbean. Walker became a highly visible philanthropist focused on supporting initiatives for the economic independence of black women, as well as the growing anti-lynching movement. Mm-hmm. She also pushed her agents to engage in political action and organized her agents into state and local clubs known as the National Beauty Culturists and Benevolent Association of Madam C.J. Walker Agents. Their first convention, held in 1917, boasted 200 attendees and is believed to have been among the first national gatherings of women entrepreneurs to discuss business and commerce.
Wow.
It goes on.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
I figured you would like this
and
woman.
And that time period, too.
Yeah. Isn't that the crazy thing?
That's what's, and as a woman, yeah.
Yeah.
Go, girl.
Her company at the time of her death in 1919, her annual revenue was $500,000.
Amazing.
From
right.
sharecroppers, well, and her parents died when she was seven.
Yeah.
All right. 1888, Vincent Van Gogh chops off his ear. 1922, BBC Radio begins daily newscasts.
It was important, yes.
1928, NBC sets up a permanent coast-to-coast radio network. I put that one because coast-to-coast. 1933, Dutch communist Marinus van der Lubbe sentenced to death for setting the German Reichstag on fire.
Oh.
So this is part of the, like, hey, we didn't really do it, Nazis. It must have been some enemy, probably a socialist or a communist. But the Reichstag is basically their capital.
Okay.
In Germany. 1938 in the time. 1938, Margaret Hamilton's costume catches fire while filming The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, really?
Isn't that hideous?
That is.
And it was already poisoning her, too. Like, the makeup was...
Oh.
So have you seen...
I have not. I haven't seen Wicked, so...
It's
yeah.
very long. I was...
And Wicked's only half of it.
It's only the first half, yes. Yeah. It was very annoying. I got dragged into it, and hopefully my daughter will go with my wife to see
the next time.
The next one. So yes, if you're being asked to go, it is a good movie.
Yes.
But do be prepared. It's long. All right. 1941, American forces on Wake Island surrender to the Japanese. 1954, and I was tempted to make this one my history ally for selfish reasons. 1954, the first human kidney transplant is performed by Dr. Joseph E. Murray at Peter Bent Brigham Hospital in Boston, Massachusetts.
That is pretty cool.
Because I have one kidney.
I remember.
That's why I'm keeping my children healthy so that I can harvest one of their kidneys if I ever need it.
That's the reason. That's the
only reason I feed them. All right. 1968. I told you there were a lot. 1968, the first people to orbit the moon, Frank Borman, Jim Lovell, and William Anders aboard Apollo 8.
Cool.
It's kind of a shame that nobody really knows their names except for Jim Lovell.
Right. And they were so close.
They go to the moon.
I know. I mean,
they didn't plan on landing. They wanted to make sure they could do it and come back. Mm-hmm. But you're the first humans that we are aware of.
There. Right. Yeah.
You wouldn't have visited the moon even if you didn't stop.
It's huge. Yeah.
All right. But our history highlight today, I think had the most impact. 1620, construction of Plymouth Settlement begins.
Oh, yes.
And certainly there would have been others had it not worked, but also for the iconicness of we all like think the Pilgrims were wonderful.
Do we?
I think people used to.
Yes.
I think maybe as more history is told, we realize that perhaps they were not the nicest people in the world.
Well, right. You're right. Yeah. The stories that we were told were not necessarily exactly what happened. They weren't the truth. I mean, right? But
I mean, the Brady Bunch dressed up like them in one episode, so it must be wholesome and good.
Yes. So I have something to add, and this does not have anything to do with this day in history, but we've talked about Andrew Jackson's Hermitage before.
Did you visit it? I'm jealous.
I did. Yep. Carly and I went a couple summers ago, and we toured the Hermitage. I took a picture from the his lawn and sent it to you, and you kind of were like, "Oh, you're at his house." But one thing that I remember, because we talked about it when we came back. So this was at the time my 8-year-old, or so maybe she was 7, 8. Her first learned experience about slavery. And they had just in Nashville were changing and across the South the terms to enslaved persons. So
yes.
The word slavery is not really used anymore
in
the museum industry. Mm-hmm. And at the Hermitage, they actually had a tour where you could get on a wagon and they took you to the enslaved quarters.
Yes.
So, and it was far away. It was, I mean, it took, of course, we were on a horse-drawn carriage, so it took a long time, but still. So, I mean, imagine. So it's like 90 degrees outside because we were there in July. We're just, you know, sweating. And it took probably 20 minutes to get there. And they're telling some very detailed stories about the people that lived on this man's property. And Andrew Jackson was really not a nice person to anybody. And so he was really not kind to the enslaved people. But that tour that we took, so it was my friend who also works in the museum industry. So she was the one who was telling Carly. She was sort of...
we tried to have her on the show, but it didn't work out.
We had an ice storm.
That's right.
We couldn't leave our house. We took this extra tour, and it cost us $20 each to take that carriage ride. So we paid to go to the museum, and since my friend's in the museum industry, we got a discount, which was great. And then we had to pay the additional $20 just to do this small tour. So just this week, Andrew Jackson's Hermitage removed the fee. Just this week. So that's huge because she and I mentioned it to the museum. And then we both actually followed up because she had a friend that worked there with them, too, because of our powerful interaction with Carly and how important it was really for her to not just hear about it, but then also to go see the area. So we were in this beautiful mansion, and the mansion is gorgeous, very well. It's not preserved because they do. I'm not going to use the right terms, but it looks beautiful. And then to go to where the enslaved people live, it was awful. It was just terrible.
To see that difference.
To see it. And you can't see it from the mansion either. You had to get on this carriage. You couldn't walk there. It was far away. So that, you know, that's a barrier that's now removed. And that access will then increase the people that hear those stories because they were telling real stories that whole time.
And I get, as a nonprofit, you need to pay your light bills.
True.
At the end of the day, you got to figure out some way. And, you know, I always am a little amused in Flavelle House people every now and then because they hear Clatsop County Historical Society and they're like, well, why are you charging? And I'm like, there's a value here. Mm-hmm. And I mean, nobody gets turned away because you could go sign out a pass from the library if you really couldn't afford to pay $7 or $6. And we have family rates because we want everybody to go through. You have an educational mission. As long as you can pay the light bill, though, you need to focus on what your mission is. And for there, that is part of your mission.
It is.
To make people understand that juxtaposition of Andrew Jackson and the enslaved people.
Right. Well, and Andrew Jackson's home and property and value existed predominantly because of those enslaved persons, right?
Yeah. Yes.
So we're learning about his history, and his history is formed dramatically by those people. So, you know, another interesting thing is they had a winery in their retail area. So you could actually go to a winery. So, you know, they have other areas where they could, you know, like that's where you need to tack on the extra, extra dollars.
Like a winery I'm okay with. But what I hate is when you're kind of trapped someplace like a zoo, I hate that you're going to charge me $14 for a hot dog.
Right.
Because I'm trapped there with my family And I have the option of either we cut it short and we leave to go to a restaurant or to go out to our car and have a picnic lunch. And we may or may not go back versus keep us there. And I get you need to cover your expenses, but don't gouge me.
Yeah. But see, that's where
and that's why I don't like the add-on.
Right. Right. Exactly. Don't, you know, my point is you add it on there, right? You add it on in some of those other experiences or everyone's ticket price goes up $5, which doesn't cover the 20, but
yes.
And then charge more for your retail areas and things like that. Yep. So
that
was great. I was very glad.
Maybe your friend realized you were outraged by the extra fee and she's been working ever since then to get it changed.
She is a great advocate. Her name is Jan, and she had texted me that earlier this week because she was very excited.
I remember you were very annoyed by the extra fee.
And how important
the lesson was that was kind of the best part.
Yep. When she had pointed out that was kind of a thing. So while the museums in the South, you know, a lot of them are on plantations, almost all of them, and all the house museums are on plantations, of course. And that is, you know, she had pointed out that those were the stories that they were charging for because, her point, she's from Nashville. She believed it was very personal and that people didn't like hearing the story so they could opt out.
Oh, no. People, of course, they don't like hearing
it. And then people didn't like sharing the story.
Yes.
So they created that barrier purposefully while still having that information there. So, seeing how her community and also her, career is changing. So, cool.
Nice. Yeah. So, you know what else is really a thing?
What's real?
The war on Christmas.
Oh, man.
I mean, we're not going to be able to celebrate it in a few days because there's a war on Christmas. So obviously I'm being facetious.
Yes.
But there are some funny things when I was just going down a rabbit hole. Yep. So we're going to talk a little bit about the war on Christmas.
Let's
and
do
we're
it.
Going to talk about some wacky Christmas traditions.
Okay.
So Christmas celebrates the birth of Christ, which one might think would make it a hands-down joyous occasion for most folks. Nope. Christmas has actually been a source of controversy in the United States since the earliest colonial days. In fact, in 1659, the Puritan government of the Massachusetts Bay Colony, the Pilgrims, went so far as to outlaw Christmas.
What?
In order to discourage disorderly behavior that might be offensive to God.
Oh, there we go.
Anyone who failed to show up for work or participated in feasting would be fined 5 shillings. The Christmas ban lasted until 1681. And Massachusetts didn't make Christmas an official holiday until 1856. So that's one of the reasons I love religious freedom.
Right.
Like, no, the Pilgrims were not about religious freedom. It was about their ability to practice their own and enforce it upon everybody around them.
Exactly how they wanted.
Yes.
Okay. So the English were the first to ban Christmas. Massachusetts wasn't the first place to ban Christmas. Back in 1643, England passed an ordinance encouraging citizens to treat Christmas as a solemn holiday rather than a celebratory feast. By the next year, Christmas had been banned altogether. Christmas remained illegal in England until 1660, 1 year after the Massachusetts banned Christmas. Now, doesn't this sound like this is more of an issue with maybe alcohol?
Possibly. Or just having a good time.
Or not working, too.
A feast and not working, yeah. So some wacky laws here. No paying of debts. In sharp contrast to the New England law against recognizing Christmas, Arkansas passed a law in 1838 making debt that would otherwise be payable on Christmas payable 1 day earlier, aka Christmas Eve. In other words, if a debt you owed was to come due on Christmas, you'd have one less day to pay it. Likewise, if a debt was owed to you was payable on Christmas, your debtor would be required to pay it 1 day early, thus depriving you of the day's worth of interest.
Oh, okay. So there's a grace period for paying debt. Unlike Arkansas, Louisiana adopted a law in 1837 that made Christmas Day a grace period with regard to bill paying. In other words, if a debtor had a debt come due on Christmas, they would have until December 26th, also known as Boxing Day, to pay it. Accordingly, debtors would have one more day with their money interest-free, while creditors would lose that day of interest.
Mm-hmm.
Very similar.
So, rather be in Louisiana if I'm borrowing money, but if somebody owes me money, I'd rather be in Arkansas. All right, so I think this referred to the British canceling Christmas, and I started to really go down, and I think this could have been an entire show by itself.
I think we did this show.
The Plum Pudding Riots.
I think we did it, Mac.
Maybe.
I thought we did an entire show on plum pudding.
Well, we did on plum pudding, but not the riots.
Are you sure?
Yeah, in 1647, okay. The new British Puritan government tried to cancel Christmas. People in Canterbury protested in a peculiarly English way, with a destructive game of football followed by a mass brawl. The city's plum pudding riots led to a royalist revolt throughout Kent and the second round of the Civil War.
In the militant atheist USSR, they tried to cancel Christmas, with the festival officially banned in 1929, but to no avail. So in 1935, Stalin had to instead adopt the Russian Santa Claus called Grandfather Frost into the New Year festivities, with New Year trees that looked suspiciously like Christmas trees, but with socialist stars on top.
That's just sad. No. You're not fooling anybody. And you're not really putting down the masses.
I know. But control, so, right? Yeah. I mean, it did control.
Yeah. All right. The war on Christmas trees.
Ooh.
In New York City, there is a law prohibiting the display of natural, non-artificial Christmas trees in retail stores. I wonder if that's still a thing.
Yeah.
In Philadelphia, there's a law prohibiting natural trees in high-rise buildings and any other dwellings that are designed to house more than two families. In both cases, the reason is it's considered a fire hazard.
I kind of get that.
Okay.
I understand. Christmas tree tax. Since 2011, a 15-cent tax has been assessed on the sale of every Christmas tree in the United States. The purpose of the tax is to fund a marketing program to improve the image of Christmas trees, similar to Got Milk and the Incredible Edible Egg campaigns. Don't believe it? Snopes confirms it, although they say it's not truly accurate to call it a tax, and it's only levied on wholesalers. Nevertheless, it's likely that wholesalers pass the levy on to retail customers.
Okay, so, your household, real or fake?
Oh, we're still real.
See, I like the idea of a real, but we've had a fake for a long, long time.
Yeah, and I'm all for the idea of fake, but my kids like chopping it down. But here's a little tidbit, too. Mm. So Oregon is the number one wholesaler distributor of Christmas trees in the United States. Agriculture is our number one exporter in Oregon, so that 15 cents tax would have an impact on our farmers.
There we go. Fun fact. All right. Yes to the tree, no to the cross. In 2016, in Knightstown, Indiana, it became illegal to have a cross on top of a Christmas tree in a public display. The cross is not a Christmas symbol, said a representative of the American Civil Liberties Union. The cross is the preeminent symbol of Christianity, and it reminds Christians not of the secular trappings of Christmas, but of the crucifixion.
Okay. Yeah. Well, public, right? Okay. Don't lose that receipt. In Michigan, if you like having a freshly cut Christmas tree, be prepared to retain the receipt. That's because it's illegal there for anyone to transport a Christmas tree without having proof of the sale.
I like that, because they're afraid you're just going into somebody's yard and cutting a tree down.
Probably,
so
right?
You gotta prove it. So the ban on candy canes.
Oh, man.
In Nebraska. I know, there's a war on Christmas here. In Nebraska, in 2018, an elementary school principal banned candy canes in the school because historically the shape of the candy cane is a J for Jesus.
Oh, my goodness.
I've never heard that in my life.
I haven't either.
All right. The red is for the blood of Christ. I've never heard that. And the white is a symbol of his resurrection. I've never heard that. Also, I think that principle.
If Mac hasn't heard it, then...
then it must not be true. Also banned anything suggestive of the religious holiday of Christmas, including reindeer.
Oh, man.
Elf on the Shelf.
What?
And anything red and green.
Oh, my goodness.
See? Now you're just being silly.
Yeah, so my cousin Beth's here in the room with us, and she's from Nebraska, and she's like, huh? She's gonna... yep, no candy canes. How sad. But no booze in the eggnog in Arkansas. In Arkansas, the sale of alcoholic beverages prohibited on Christmas Day. Period. End of story. That's not to say one can't drink alcohol in the privacy of one's home on Christmas, but if you want to do so, you'll have to make sure you're stocked before Christmas. But that's, be surprised if that's just Arkansas. I would think that's quite a few.
It could be quite a few.
Anywhere with liquor stores, they're often closed on.
Well, not only that, I lived in Arkansas for a year and a half right after college, my first job, professional job. And my county was not dry, but a friend of mine that had the same job lived in the county south of us, and he was in a dry county, and you were allowed to have alcohol. There were no alcohol stores,
just
and the grocery stores didn't sell anything. He would come over to my house to go liquor shopping and then go back to his house. All right. Laws against being lax about taking down your Christmas lights.
Ooh, I like this one.
Many states and municipalities in the United States have laws regulating how long you're allowed to keep your Christmas lights up after Christmas. In San Diego, you have until February 2nd. there are cash fines of $250. In Maine, fines may be levied anytime after January 15th.
Wow.
Get on it. Take them down.
And is it if, like, your lights are on or just if they're still up.
You leave them hanging and just not turn them on.
I mean, because like here, you kind of wait until that next like sunny, dry day, right?
Yeah.
Laws against light trespass. Your Christmas lights can be guilty of trespass under light trespass laws, which prohibit such things as misdirected or excessive artificial light caused by inappropriate or misaligned lights that produce unnecessary glowing. This is New Jersey, in particular, is known for its light trespass laws.
I have hard feelings because there's in some interpretation there, but obviously if somebody's like pointing lights right in your...
I think you got to have like one of those huge displays.
The Christmas Vacation, Chevy Chase.
Right, yeah.
All right. No Christmas decorations before December 24th in Norway.
Wow.
In Norway, it's considered bad luck to put up Christmas decorations too early. Traditionally, Norwegians wait until December 24th to decorate their homes for Christmas Eve celebrations. Anything earlier might be met with disapproval from strict traditionalists.
Wow,
the 24th.
Yeah, and you get to enjoy it for a day. We're at Thanksgiving. We decorate at Thanksgiving time. We take the whole month. So in North Korea, don't sing carols out of tune. Singing Christmas carols in North Korea is already a sensitive topic, but if you do decide to sing one, make sure it's on key. Singing out of tune or creating unauthorized gatherings can land you in serious trouble.
Uh-oh.
I mean, it is North Korea.
It is North Korea.
So
can't anything land you in trouble?
Yeah.
All right. Keep it quiet on Christmas Eve in Germany. Germany has a law that restricts excessive noise on Christmas Eve. You won't find loud parties or construction work going on. It's all about peace and quiet to reflect on the meaning of the holiday.
Want to dress up as Santa Claus in New Zealand? You might need a permit if you're in public. This rule aims to avoid confusion and keep official Santas on duty looking credible. So what's an official Santa?
Yeah, that's funny. I don't know. I had to play Santa once at Old Cowtown Museum in Wichita. It was not fun.
Oh.
Because they wanted me to be historic, and I had to threaten kids.
Oh.
With like a bundle of switch of sticks.
Oh, that's terrible.
I refused. I said I will come out of character and explain if anybody asks why I'm carrying the sticks.
Okay.
It was a huge to-do between the education department and the administration.
As children are like, what?
Yeah, I was like, I'm not going to scare kids into hating Santa Claus. Snowball fights are illegal in Colorado.
What?
In Fort Collins, Colorado, snowball fights are technically illegal. While it's rarely enforced, this unusual law could land you a fine if you're caught engaging in some frosty fun.
Let's see. Christmas must be celebrated with a KFC feast in Japan. While it's not an official law, KFC has become the unofficial Christmas meal in Japan. It's a widely followed custom, and you might struggle to get a bucket of chicken if you don't pre-order.
That's a true thing. When my daughter spent a year in Japan,
It
was huge.
It's like fried chicken.
Yeah, they love Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Interesting.
All right. You must attend church on Christmas in Venezuela. It's considered law in certain regions to attend church on Christmas morning. Skipping the traditional Misa de Gallo might earn you more than just a side eye, evil eye.
Okay. And in the UK, there's a strong push against Christmas ads running too early. While it's not an official law, it's widely considered bad taste for retailers to start pushing holiday cheer in October.
Oh, no.
Can you imagine? I mean, it goes up like in September.
Yeah. So no SantaCon shenanigans in New York City. New York City has cracked down on the rowdy SantaCon bar crawl, where thousands of people dressed as Santa parade through the city. Rules have been implemented to control the chaos.
Oh, my gosh. How fun.
And there's like another two pages of these.
I know.
Kind of kept going.
We'll save them. But we do want to wish you and yours a very merry holiday. Enjoy time with family, friends, and have a great time together.
Go make some mystery. We'll catch you next week. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for joining us for An Adventure in History. An Adventure in History is created and produced by the Clatsop County Historical Society and brought to you by KMUN.
Ladies and gentlemen, a very happy and a merry Christmas to you. To make it really happy and merry, make sure you drive safely and carefully. There's nothing merry about a crash.